T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're back. Now, MLB Tonight is airing a live show before and after every postseason game on the MLB Network, and we'll be live from the World Series beginning on Tuesday. Where else would they be this time of year? And that means Mark DeRosa and all those guys, you know, and all those promos. And he joins us now. What's going on?
How you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Real good.
You ready to go to the World Series?
I am. I'm going to leave either Sunday or Monday. I got flights set to Boston or Houston. We'll see where we're going.
Listen, they couldn't be in a sweeter spot now, sitting back knowing they got Evaldi ready, full rest for Game 7 if they need him. They get two bites at the apple before that, and they put Price in his really tension-free a spot as they could possibly put him in. Nobody expects anything. He's in Houston. It's Verlander. I mean, go out there and have some fun because you got nothing to lose. No one expects you to win the game anyway.
Well, I think that's been the MO of the Boston Red Sox the entire season, 108 wins, and everyone's been writing them off from the Yankee series to this series, and they just find a way. I think the thing that's refreshing for me watching in today's game, watching the Boston Red Sox, they play unbelievable defense,
yep,
especially in the outfield, and they work ABs. I mean, as good as J.D. Martinez is, the guy's working ABs, taking Keuchel the other way, the at-bat against Presley last night. They just beat you down with that pass-the-baton mentality, and you want to call it new – they might call it new school way of thinking. Bottom line for me, that's old mentality. Pitching, good defense, and find a way to make a pitcher grind on the opposition.
Well, a couple of things here with them that have stuck out in this series. Number one, and then we'll get to last night's first inning play, which I thought was a good call. I'll tell you why. Number one, if you're going to have a lineup and Jackie Bradley's going to kill you in the bottom of the lineup, you're dead. He's got 9 RBIs in a series. So that's right. That's number one. You can't let Jackie Bradley beat you. That's number one. I mean, he's a great fielder, but he can't. He's not a big hitter. So if he's going to get 9 RBIs in a series, you're dead.
And then, what I love is he gets 600 plate appearances because of the way he plays Gold Glove center field.
Yep.
They value that.
Yeah, no question. And he's gotten huge hits here. Number two, yep, Evaldi gave him the game they had to win. He won it. He came up with the one game they had to anchor that they needed a starter in. Plus, their middle relief, which we all thought was their Achilles heel, which everyone thought was, has come up big in the series.
You know, there's a lot to like. And doing it without Sale. I mean, Rick Porcello, I know he didn't have his A game last night, but coming out of the pen multiple times. There's a lot to like about this team. Steve Pierce going head over heels into the dugout, huge homer off Joe Smith the other night. I get it. I get why they won 108 games. I get why they're in a position to take down the Houston Astros. I still think this goes, like you said, to Game 7.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it does. Number one, Sale's not 100%. Number two, no one expects him to win this game tonight against Verlander, Price. I doubt they'll win this game tonight. No one will expect them to. And then I think they're in great shape having Evaldi in Game 7, and Evaldi's become a very big key for them. Let's get to the Mookie play last night.
Yeah,
I thought that, yes, he's in the stands. He's above the wall, but he had a clear play on that ball until the fan came in and went in front of his glove. So to me, I think, and I'm not a big fan of the umpire, but I'll tell you right now, I thought he made the right call. I thought it was a play that he would have made if he wasn't interfered with. Now, he is over the fence. So if you're going to say he's not allowed to go in there and get it, if that's your interpretation, fine, but then it's a different interpretation. But to me, he was going to field the ball if they left him alone.
Here's my take on it. I thought it should have been a home run.
Why?
And I'll tell you why. Whether or not we assume, and I think we can probably 95% assume Mookie Betts is making that play.
Yes.
My problem with it is the fans weren't leaning on the field. He went in my.
No, he went over. He went over the fence. No question.
He went over, right?
But is he allowed to go over?
Problem.
Is he allowed to go over by rule? Yes, he is.
He's allowed to go over, but right. Once he goes over, the fans, it's fair game.
So what your interpretation is, if he goes over, a fan then is allowed to take the ball out of his glove?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, if that's your interpretation, then it should
that's
be a home
rule.
Run. Well, to me, I've always felt that if the guy can make what is a clear play on the ball, and to me, he could make a clear play on the ball until the fan went in front of him.
If we're assuming a guy going two rows deep, full speed, diving into a wall is a clear play.
Well, he is so good, though, that he had the glove in position to make the play, I think. He was going to make the play if the fan...
Here's my only problem with it, Mike, and I have no problem with it being an out. I don't. I really don't. Like, I have no problem with Joe West calling it fan interference. What I have a problem with is had Joe West said, home run. They would have went to replay and would have said inconclusive home run.
Correct.
Because Joe West said out, right. They went inconclusive. Like, what are we having replay for?
Yeah, I don't understand why if the rule is going to be interpreted as you stated, okay, and then then he was clearly over the wall when he went to field the ball. He was no longer, it wasn't a case of the fan reaching onto the field to play.
Exactly. That was not the case.
My take. So I don't know, is it written? I have never seen that rule verbalized. Is it written in the book that a fan is allowed to interfere? Because I always thought that even if you lean against the fence, I thought even if it was up to the umpire's discretion, that's what I always thought. Even if the umpire thought you could catch the ball, he's allowed to call it out if he felt the fan was in error there. To me, I felt there's an umpire discretion there. Now, you want to say the umpire took too much discretion there, okay. That's why I thought it was a fair out, because the umpire discretion was he would have caught the ball, which I thought the same thing. But if you're saying if he leans over the fence, then there is no question, no longer is there umpire discretion. You're taking the umpire discretion out of play. If replay would have done that, that would have been the rule. It would have been okay. They didn't do that. They said umpire discretion is still in play.
The way I interpret the rule is if the fan leans over. Now, I don't know if you draw an imaginary line from the yellow foul line all the way up to the sky. I don't know. We didn't have that side angle.
No, because the guy was blocking it. Right. The guy was blocking it. Yeah.
But once Mookie Betts' glove goes past that yellow line and into. Yeah,
I have to see how, if it mentions, does it actually state in the rule book that once you go past an imaginary line, or there's none of that in the book?
It's fair game.
Well, you know, if it is in there that he cannot go past the fence and then he's fair game, if it's stated in there that way, then I would say that he erred. I always thought it was umpire's discretion, just like it would be on a lot of things, whether the umpire felt he was properly allowed to field the ball or not. I thought clearly he went past, so I got to be fair here. I thought, number one, he definitely went into the stands, but I thought he clearly was going to catch the ball. So that's why I thought it was okay.
What if he catches it, crashes into the wall, and comes out of his gloves? Like, we don't, there's too many unknowns.
Well, that would be a live ball then, that's all.
Yeah, and it would be a home run. My only problem with it is everyone wants to get on Joe West.
No, that would be a live ball if he did that. If he brought it off his glove back into the field of play,
yeah, then it's a live ball.
But if it
falls out of his glove over the fence, it's a two-run bomb.
Absolutely. But if it fell on the field, it'd be a live ball.
I just think they should have took Joe West has been doing it for so long, and
right.
I see everybody, oh, it's not about Joe West. Bottom line is that he's doing the best he can in that position. He's 100 yards away from the play. He makes what many people perceive to be, and me, I agree with you. Do I think Mookie Betts was going to catch that? Probably yes. Probably 9 times out of 10 that stays in his glove.
Right.
He's a good enough player.
Yeah.
But the replay should have took the pressure off of Joe. And it doesn't. It's like, oh, it's inconclusive. So if Joe would have said two-run homer, he would have.
Yeah, no, clearly they said inconclusive. I mean, so in essence, to me, then that rule is not so. The way it seems to me is that rule is not as properly defined in the rule book as we thought it was. Because otherwise, it should have been, well, if he's leaning over, then that's it. It's no longer a discretionary call. He's leaned over. He clearly leaned over. There's no question in my mind, and I'm saying it should have been out. I'm admitting he leaned into the stands. He clearly leaned into the stands. I thought he was allowed to lean into the stands if the umpire felt he was allowed to lean into the stands. Then it's up to whether or not the fan was being, you know, to me, it's almost the idea of whether the fan is being deliberate or not in his attempt in the play. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yep.
Is it inadvertent or is it deliberate? And I thought the fan was making sure he got in front of him, which I understand he's in the stands. He's allowed. But are you allowed to call it the other way? So that's why, to me, there's some gray area here on the interpretation. And I understand your point. It's a fair one. If there's no interpretation, if he leans over the fence, well, then they made the wrong call last night. That would be the way I would look at it.
I felt like they made the wrong call. Whether or not Mookie was going to catch the ball, and he probably was going to catch the ball. But you know what? In order to win a World Series, and I was saying this to my wife this morning, I said when I was with the Giants in 2010 and we went on to win a World Series, we caught every break. We really did.
You
we
have to.
Great baseball, but you catch breaks.
You have to. Like, the Yankees did a bunch of times when they won.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have to catch break. Look at Jeffrey Mayer as an example. Going back to then, and that was a terrible call by Richie Garcia. It was a terrible call because the guy, he clearly leaned over the fence. I mean, it wasn't even an issue there on that ball. So the Jeffrey Mayer should have been an out. We all know that. And Dog and I both said the next day it should have been an out. We both said it on the air. I mean, we weren't arguing that one because that one, he was on the field. There wasn't even a question. But let's be honest. The Red Sox have made the better plays here. They've made the bigger pitches. Last year, Morton and McCullers and guys like that no one touched them. Now this year, they're giving up runs. That's the difference. Those same guys have to do the same thing for you to win. It's all those guys who have to do the little things for you to win. And, you know, guys who didn't look good in the Yankee series out of the middle of the pen there for the Red Sox are pitching well in the series now. Yeah, they look good.
And they're pitching with confidence. The Brazier kid, I mean, for example, comes in and pitches well. On the flip side, you're watching Lance McCullers come in, bases loaded to Brock Holt. Now, I know this for a fact, that Lance McCullers feels that he has better command of his breaking ball than his fastball, but he pitched Brock Holt in that situation with the bases loaded like it was vintage Don Mattingly.
Yeah, not Swan.
I was just like, wow, you're walking another run. It's kind of, you're putting a lot of heat on your offense.
I agree. Hey, listen, like you said, you got to make the little plays. All right, let's talk about the other series for a second. We're talking with Mark DeRosa, MLB Network. The Dodgers win that marathon. They had a win. They win it. They come back yesterday. Kershaw had to step out there and be the man, and he was. He got through the one inning he had to get through. Kane double. He strikes out Yelich. He walks Braun, which was smart. And then the 8-pitch at bat, the Aguilar, he gets the strikeout. And then he doesn't get touched the rest of the game. So he comes through big for them. That's a big point. Where do you think that series is right now? I mean, the Brewers still have a swinging chance here. But did the Dodgers win the game yesterday they had to win?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Clayton Kershaw getting it done with diminished velocity. I mean, I can think back to facing him in 2009 with the St. Louis Cardinals, and he's throwing 94 to 97 with that exploding breaking stuff. I mean, he's topping out at 91 right now. Yeah, that series is, for me, the Dodgers, was the offense going to wake up?
And it really hasn't. It really hasn't woken up. You know,
Justin Turner had a big game yesterday. They got a couple big knocks. Hopefully, I liked Cody Bellinger leading off. I like that Dave Roberts kind of put the two.
What do you think about the knock on him that was brought up the other night in the Fox studio, that he fools around with his lineup too much to give these guys a chance to really get anything going in the postseason?
I try and manage from the couch 100%. It was driving me nuts that Max Muncy, who had 35 bombs in the regular season, was having to sit on the bench until the fourth or fifth inning. So David Freese has been a kind of a role player recently, was taking those at bats when we were treating Wade Miley and Gio Gonzalez like Clayton Kershaw's of the
right.
world.
Yeah,
like,
he was over. That was the feeling, is that he was, why didn't he leave his guys in the lineup, is what everyone was thinking, you know?
I can understand you facing Chris Sale. Max Muncy might not be the guy. It might be David Freeze's turn, but you know haters lurking. You know he was at some point, and you have no weapons to go to on the bench. He had Craig Counsell exhausted him by the top of the seventh inning. He had no bench in game two or three. So that's been, listen, I get what Milwaukee's doing. I totally do. To expect Wade Miley, Chacin, Gio Gonzalez, Davies to go out there and dominate for six, seven innings in a postseason is not realistic, even though they've been able to do it.
Yeah, but hard to play baseball the way they played baseball yesterday, though.
It is.
It's very hard. You're facing Clayton Kershaw, and you're letting your pitcher pitch the one batter.
I know.
I mean,
and then you're gonna bring him back, and now he's gonna.
I mean, it's a bizarre. Listen, I know they don't have a lot of starting pitching. I understand that, and they got this far, on their bullpen and their offense. I understand that, but. It's almost a little bit crazy to play that way. I mean, you know, that was bizarre yesterday.
To expect guys who have played every day or pitchers that have started their whole career to just automatically become chess pieces and to sit on the bench for two or three innings and then get up and then go in and then warm up and you're only going to face one batter. But you know what? I'm getting ready for a postseason start. I can't imagine the adrenaline or lack thereof if he knows he's only getting one guy and he ends up walking Bellinger. I just think to expect to take the human element out of it, we're making a very big mistake in that regard. These guys, I've played in postseason series. You can't fool the 25-man roster. The starters are the starters. The backups are the backups. Yeah, I get it. We're creating rosters of 25 hybrids, but at the end of the day, are you? Are you really doing that? You run out your guys. You give them the best opportunity to succeed, and you let the chips fall where they may. I get it with the whole Wade Miley thing. You don't feel like you have a pitching staff in order to get it done, so you want to go a certain way, but it eventually ends up catching up to you.
All right, two things here. We're talking with Mark DeRosa. Two things I want to get you on. Number one, Yelich calls out Manny Machado. Manny Machado's
no
had some weird – either do I. Manny Machado's been dirty in the series. I totally agree. What he did at first base the other day was on call for. He's done a couple of things at second base that were on call for. He has every right to call him out, but here's the one thing I'm going to say about that. And I think Machado has acted very strangely in the series, so I'm the first to admit that, okay? But let me say this. If you're going to do that, and you're going to have been a guy who almost won a triple crown, is going to win an MVP, you're going to call out Manny Machado, you have hit 150 in this series, you had a chance to break the game open in game five, you're going home for game six, you better hit. You've been the MVP of the league, you almost won a triple crown. Everyone says you're the greatest guy in the world, which I'm sure he is, okay? You call out Manny Machado for being dirty. Basically, you could have ended Kershaw's day in that game yesterday. You didn't, all right? He struck you out second and third where you needed to just hit the ball, okay? You didn't do it. You're hitting 150 in this series. You're going home for game six. You got to show up. You got to show up, let's be honest. You can call him out. I have no problem with him calling him out. And I think Machado's been dirty, I admit it. But you got to show up tomorrow then if you're going to do that.
Here's my take on it. I think it's just Christian Yelich being a great teammate and a great leader and trying to back his teammates.
But he's hitting 150.
Yes, fair. He has disappeared in the postseason for them. Do I think Manny Machado, the play at first base, was dirty? 100%.
I think so, too. He didn't have to do it. That's the thing. Listen, we both know Aguilar's foot should not have been there, okay? It doesn't belong there. I understand that. Some guys are sloppy at first base, but he tried to hurt him.
Yeah. I think he just – listen, I'd be the first to admit that I've done two or three things in my career that maybe –
All right.
I shouldn't have.
Right. You're right. You're frustrated. You kick a guy. You kick a foot away. Okay. You do something like that. Okay. You put your arm up on a double play ball. That's all fine. But you know what? He's done it three or four things in this series that way.
That's the problem. And he's done it periodically throughout his entire career. I go back to the Boston series early where they were throwing
at him.
Unpopular?
Is he unpopular? I didn't realize is he very unpopular with other players?
I think he's known that this isn't the first time, and no one's surprised when he does this.
Okay.
And then he goes out and says, well, he certainly is an interesting character, but I'm not going to sit here and say that we're all perfect. Like, there was a dirty play. He shouldn't have done it. I've watched other people do stupid things throughout the course of their career. I'd be the first to admit I've thrown an elbow when I should.
But he's also hitting .315 in the series, which means something to me because he's a big guy with a lot of pressure on him, and he's producing.
He backs it up.
And he's backing it up. So, we know he's dirty, okay? I saw he's dirty. We've seen him dirty throughout the series. Fine. He's backing it up. Yelich called him out, which he can do. But you know what? You're hitting .150. You got to show up. You got to show up. You're an MVP this year. You're almost a triple crown winner. You got to show up in game six. There's still time. He can wreck the game in game six.
It just seems like he's late on fastballs. It just seems like he's trying to go the other way with everything to me. I don't know. I'd like to see him get the head out on something in Miller Park and throw it for pull side homer.
Yeah, I mean, he needs – and I'll tell you what's happened a couple of times, and no one's ever talked about it yet, and it's driven me crazy, okay? And I don't like the guy in the first place, but I've seen two occasions, and it may have been three, Mark, where Yelich has gotten terrible reads on balls that Braun has hit, and it's cost Braun base hits where there's been forces at second base.
Yeah.
And Braun has been furious about it. He screamed at him a couple of times about it. He screamed at him in the dugout once about it. He screamed at him the other day about it, where Yelich has gotten these terrible reads on these line drives or these balls where he didn't know they were going to fall in, and he got forced out at second base. And Braun was mad. You could see he was mad.
I've taken it back. I was taken aback when Milwaukee won the game against Chicago to clinch the division, that the first guy that spoke after council before they celebrated was Ryan Braun, that he has that big a voice in that clubhouse. I mean, after what he's been through and the PEDs and everything, like that, that this team kind of lets him have the biggest voice in the room. I thought that was very interesting. So, yeah, he's voicing his opinion.
No question. And
you're right on Yelich. He's going to step up.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, he called Machado out. So there's a little bit of a, you know, thing going on there, which is fine. But now it's time to show up.
Yeah.
So this series now, what do you have to – give me a thought process.
I just think the Dodgers are too talented. That's the way I feel about it.
And the other series, you think Houston? You like Houston all year. You think Houston still has life, or you think they're dead?
No, I think they still have life. But man, everything in my heart is telling me that the ball is bouncing the Red Sox way every step of the way. The way Altuve is banged up. The way Correa—I need Correa to be moved up in the order, please, today.
Yeah, why are they keeping it? He's already showed people he's healthy again. Why is he batting down there?
Come up. Let's go.
Why is he batting down there? I mean, the guy doesn't belong down there.
He was bad when he came back, and he's been dealing with the back injury and everything, and I think AJ was protecting him, and I think he was protecting him from himself. And, you can mask it with the whole, I like having the thump at the bottom of the order, but bottom line last night, three knocks, let's go. Get him up in the order today.
Plus, you know this. Verlander's coming up big tonight. You know that. That's not even a question mark.
And Cole will be better game six.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I know this. Verlander's going to come up big. He always does. So that we do know. That you can expect. I mean,
now he's going to give up eight.
Yeah, no, that we will expect. I mean, Verlander, you know he's going to come up with a performance. So I have no idea. We don't even know if Price will be around for, for 9 o'clock, but we'll see what happens at, you know, at 8:09. But Verlander will be there. We know that. Give me what's up on the managerial front before we go to the World Series. Are we still in line anywhere or what?
I politely declined.
you declined the invite for a meeting?
You know why, Mike? I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I'm happy with what I'm doing. And you know what? I feel sometimes like when I sit on the phone and talk to these teams, they want me to wow them, which is fair. And I feel like I need to be wowed in order to currently leave where I'm at. My daughter's a freshman in high school. My son's 9 years old. My wife loves having me home I got a nice gig right now. Like, if I'm going to leave it, I want to make sure I'm all in.
Gotcha.
And some of these situations, I just couldn't. I sat down nights writing pros and cons, this, that, and the other thing, and I'm just like, man.
No, it's tough to leave the kids. It's not easy.
It needs to be a no-brainer.
Not easy to leave the kids. I know. I have two 13s and 11. I understand. It's very tough if you have to leave the kids for any length of time. Very tough.
Yeah.
I understand. All right. We'll talk to you there in the World Series.
All right, Mike. Take
See
care, buddy.
Thanks. Mark DeRosa back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.